You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network, and my second guest is joining me here in the studio. He's actually in from Israel, which is exciting. The last time Robbie Berman was on, we definitely had a great conversation. He's just making sure that his cans work as we speak, but I will quickly introduce Robbie. Robbie is the founder and director of HODES, the Halachic Organ Donor Society. You can go to HODES.org, HODES.org, to learn more information besides what you hear in this interview. HODES.org. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, Boker Tov. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. How are you?
Good. I'm going back to Israel tomorrow. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, really?
Thank you very much for squeezing me in this tight schedule.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, our listeners do know that we are recording this show in advance of Thursday, a couple days early, so I don't want people to think that you're going back on Shabbos.
Chas v'shalom.
Right. So, yes, I'm happy that this worked out. The timing actually worked out really well for you to come in the studio.
It was all beshared. I came in specifically from Israel because the Alliance of Orthodox Jewish Nurses have a conference every year. They have about 500 members in their Facebook group, and about 100 came to this conference. I asked them before, I think there was 180 people that showed up, and I asked them how many people here think halakha supports organ donation, mm-hmm. and 96 out of 108 said it's absolutely forbidden.
Wow.
So it was quite a challenge. Right. I was able to give a presentation. Which,
where was it, by the way?
It was in Toro College.
Okay.
And it was quite a challenge, and I gave a presentation, and then I showed them Piskei Halacha, and they still were hemming and hawing, but then I showed them videos of certain rabbis, and they said, well, those rabbis aren't firm enough, and his beard's not long enough. But then I showed them Rav David Feinstein, right down here from the
right.
lower side.
It's hard,
right. It's hard to really
it's
argue.
Pretty hardcore.
He says, you know, I spoke to my dad, and my dad said to me, forget about what you read, and, you know, he said to me that a person who can't breathe, and he looks dead, and he's not breathing, he's dead, even if you're artificially keeping his heart pumping by attaching the body to a ventilator. And you should donate organs, and it's a mitzvah. So it was really an amazing event. When I look back, seriously, when I look back at my 12 years of activity on this issue, that event is one of the highlights, because the day after that I lectured, I heard from people who are in this closed Facebook group that it was all afire with people talking about the Halachic Organ Donor Society and going to HODES.org, et cetera, et cetera. So that was really a great achievement, and I'm really happy and proud that we were able to pull that off.
So I guess that brings up my first question, which is, how much time do you spend educating the public?
Well, I only do this really, this is a job, I only really do it in the mornings and also in the afternoons and in the evenings and on Saturdays and Sundays.
Right. It's like when people ask me if my job is full-time and I say 7, 24 and a half. Right.
Right. No, I work on Shabbat. I mean, I lecture on Shabbat. I'm fundraising on Sundays. It's really insane.
But how long do you spend, or how much of the time that you spend as the director of HODES, do you spend educating the public, letting them know that there is halachic backing to being an organ donor?
So I spent an inordinate amount of time. First of all, if you just take a look at my website, the HODES.org, you can see a lecture of all of my, you can see a list of all of my lectures. So I've lectured in 12 different countries over the past 12 years to 40,000 Jews.
Wow.
So if you figure that out, how many lectures, and that's just the official lectures. And every Shabbat meal I go to, people say, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a computer programmer. What do you do? I'm a lawyer. What do you do? Oh, I run the Halachic Organ Donor. Really?
Right.
How
your
does
instant,
that work?
Your instant Shabbos lunch
conversation.
Oh, my
God. If I hear one more question about don't we need our organs for resurrection of the dead, I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know.
From Jews?
From Jews.
That's what you're hearing.
Yes. Yes. Resurrection. You need your organs. Like they're unaware. These are modern educated people, and they're unaware that when they die, their organs disintegrate in the ground. They're just unaware. They think magically they still have their organs. And I like to point
out,
we're
embalmed.
Right, we're embalmed. First of all, I like to point out that in the Bible, right, in the one book it talks about resurrection, in the book of Yechezkel, it talks about the resurrection of the dry bones of Ezekiel. It doesn't talk about the resurrection of the dry bones and pancreas and the liver. It only talks about the resurrection of the dry bones, because that's all you have. But these people, for some reason, think that all, you know, they need to be buried with their organs, because magically they don't disintegrate. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, because you're kind of saying to God, yeah, God, I know you want to resurrect millions of Jews who were cremated in the Holocaust, but I guess you can't because you don't have their organs, and Israelis blown up in tanks and
right.
buses, and you
right.
can't, you know, it's kind of a ridiculous. And there's no source for that anywhere. Nowhere in classical Jewish literature does it say that you need to be buried whole in order to be resurrected. It says you should be buried whole, for sure, the same way it says you should eat kosher, and you shouldn't drive on Shabbat, for
right.
sure.
Right.
But you're supposed to do all these things if it's pikuach nefesh, if you can save a life. So those things are...
These are Bubba Mises that we've heard
right.
from somewhere.
Well, we have some really exciting news I wanted to share with you now that
Excellent.
We're on the
right.
air.
Yes.
First of all, the chief rabbi of Roma. I just got back from Tuscany, as you can see from some of the bruises in my arm.
That's
I was
nice.
Bike riding for 7 days, except for Shabbat. I did 70 kilometers a day for 7 days, and I gained 3 kilos.
That's not bad.
Because we had a kosher gourmet chef following us around, shoving pasta down our throat, giving us an IV of wine, and I just gained 3 kilos, even though it was ridiculous.
Consider how much you really would have gained had you not been cycling as much as you did.
Anyway, so the chief rabbi of Rome, who's a physician, just came out and got our organ donor card. That makes 13 chief rabbis of different countries and cities around the world.
Am I right that Rav Steinsaltz also has a card?
Yes, Adin Steinsaltz has an organ donor card. And speaking of Adin Steinsaltz, do you know he's Chabad?
I did know that.
Well, listen to this.
Okay, I am listening.
I love. Well, this is great control of the microphone.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time
really
I ceded control of my own show.
More dramatic.
This much,
but, I can make this so much more dramatic because I can go closer and I can go further.
Right.
Out. So here I go. I'm going to really listen to this. Rav Adin Steinsaltz is Chabad, and we have a number of Chabad rabbis who have our organ donor card. But this week, as we speak, this past week, the Sydney Beth Din of Australia issued a psak halacha that any Jewish family that wants to do organ donation from a brain dead loved one, they will help facilitate the transplant. In other words, they're coming out in support of organ donation, acceptance of brain death, and this is the Chabad Beth Din, Rabbi
Gutnick. It's not just in support. Well, one second. It's not just in support. It's an act of support.
Yes, yes.
That I think is the difference. I mean, mm-hmm. Something that we've talked about, and we actually talked about at the beginning of this show, is that everyone can have a role in something, and that in some way or another, even small moves can affect a great, great group. So right. Here, in a million years, I'm not comparing the Beth Din of Sydney to a small group. But it's one thing. It would still be great had they just handed down this psak and said it is halakhically permissible for somebody who's brain dead for their organs to be harvested and be given to someone else.
Right.
But in this case, they're not only saying that, but they're saying we will help facilitate that.
Right.
That's incredible.
And I've got other good news.
Okay.
But it's not connected to our issue.
Okay. But
you
it
know,
is.
Do you know the TV show Homeland?
I
do not want to talk about it.
No. I know it in the fact that I know that it exists, and I know it is based off an Israeli show, but I don't know more than that.
So here's the humorous thing of it.
Okay.
Homeland was created by an Israeli.
Right.
And he's just coming out with a new show called Tyrant, and it's airing next week in America. There's 10 episodes airing this whole summer.
Is this a punchline? This is a real story.
This is a real story.
Okay.
This is true. It's not a story. It's a Maisa Shehoya.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, I dabble in the arts of acting. And I got a part. I got a role. I'm playing an Arab doctor that's talking about brain death.
No way.
In the TV show.
That's great.
I'm flying back to Israel tonight so I can land on tomorrow so I can land on Thursday and be ready for the shoot on Sunday. And it'll be on television on FX television.
That's great.
Isn't that wild?
That is a lot of fun.
Gets even better. You ready?
You're not going to be harvesting anything on the show, are you?
Are you sitting down?
I actually am. Yeah.
The Jerusalem Film Festival is opening up on July 10th. And they're opening up with a movie. They usually open up with the biggest movie they think is going to be a blockbuster. So it's called Aravim Rokdim, which means Dancing Arabs. I got a role in Dancing Arabs. I'm in the movie. I got the one comedic role in the movie. Isn't that fun?
Yes, that is a lot of fun, but I'm trying to figure out.
As soon as I come on stage and then I appear, which is a comedic role, I'm going to get up. It's playing in Sultan's Pool, 3,000-seat auditorium outdoors with a movie screen the size of 4 Mack trucks. And as soon as I appear on screen and when my scene is over, I'm going to get up and turn to the audience and say, now can I get a date?
The Jerusalem Film Festival is starting this Monday?
July 10th, not this Monday.
Oh, July 10th.
July 10th.
July 10th.
Yes, it's a Thursday night.
Because I was just wondering how in this matzav they're going to be playing a movie called Dancing Arabs. Let's just move on from there. Let's focus back on HODS. Again, we're talking about HODS, the Halachic Organ Donor Society. You can go to HODS.org to learn more information. How many people on average sign up a month?
I don't know the numbers per month, but what's important for us is really the metrics that we use is how many rabbis sign up. And so far, when I started the organization 12 years ago, only 2 rabbis had organ donor cards in the world, 2 Orthodox rabbis, and today we have 238. So
wow.
That's huge, huge, huge. And also the number of Israelis. When I started 12 years ago, only 3% of Israelis had organ donor cards, and today it's close to 15%. So we've had a
really?
Huge impact. We're way behind America, which is 45%, but we have had a huge impact. And we brought down the numbers. 120 Israelis were dying waiting on the list every year, and now it's only 80.
The block there? Why is progress taking longer there?
Jews are very superstitious, specifically Sephardim, specifically the French Jews. I mean, they're very superstitious about the body. They think you can never touch a dead body. And they can't wrap their head around the fact that you're allowed to cut into a dead body to save a stranger's life. Don't forget also that, you know, you don't get to choose who the organ goes to. The organs go to someone not Jewish. It can go to a Thailandese worker. It can go right. to an Arab. It can go to whomever. But, you know, you don't discriminate in a hospital. It's not legal or considered to be moral in any country in the world. So you can't do it in America. You can't do it in Israel. And some people say, well, I don't want my organs to go to an Arab. And I say, well, putting aside the ethical and moral problems with that position.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Even the shitatcha, even according to your own philosophy, if one person can donate 8 organs, basically what you're saying is, because of the demographics in Israel, 7 organs usually go to Jews and 1 goes to an Arab, because the majority of people in Israel are Jews.
Okay.
So basically what you're saying is, I'd rather let 7 Israelis die.
Than
save 1 Arab. If I have to save 1 Arab and to save 7 Jews, I'd rather not save the 7 Jews and let the Arab die. I mean, it's really a crazy, crazy.
It's very hard being the light unto other nations.
Yeah. Yeah, we could use a lot more light.
Mm.
We could use a lot more light.
It's a tough week. It is certainly a tough week. And obviously, as we keep saying, our thoughts and prayers are with the families. But in focusing on the comment that you just made, which is a staggering number, and I don't think I ever realized this, you can donate, each person can donate 8 organs?
Yeah, well, that's the number. It's a little hard to count. I mean, you can donate a cornea, skin, a pancreas, liver, which cut in 2, lungs cut in 2 kidneys. So it comes out to about 8. That's the number that we use in the industry. They typically, you can save 8 lives, one person.
I can't say I ever thought it was that the number was that high.
Yeah, and every person that I speak with that decides to donate, I mean, they look back and they say, you know, on that Black Tuesday when my brother died or my son died, there are 8 points of light, 8 little stars in that black night where I know that people's lives were saved because of them. And that brings them in as much comfort as they can get. That's where the comfort comes from. Otherwise, when you have these deaths that are just needless deaths and sad, tragic deaths and painful deaths, when they can save other people's lives, that brings them an incredible amount of nechama.
Bone marrow donors often meet their recipients.
Yeah.
Is that a case here?
They do sometimes. It's not as frequent as you would think.
Is that because... And I'm, well, again, well, from a complete point of ignorance, is that because we're unable to say this is who it went to, that there are records, et cetera, and that we want to preserve someone's privacy? Or is it because it's just not emotionally or psychologically healthy for either the recipient or the donor? Or is it just practically it doesn't work?
If both parties agree after a certain time period, they put in a request to Israel Transplant, and then they introduce each other with some mediator, either a psychologist or someone to mediate. Some people don't want to. They don't want to feel indebted to a family. Don't forget that most of the people that we're talking about here are people who've donated upon death. So they're not meeting them. It's the family meeting them.
Mm.
And then the person who's kind of feels a little creepy, you know, they're walking around with a boy's liver and you're going to meet the family and they want to touch your belly to feel the liver. I mean, it gets a little bit uncomfortable.
Right.
And also I feel it's a little bit pagan, really, to feel as if, I understand that they feel it's beautiful they were able to save people's lives, but some people feel, oh, my son is still alive because his liver's alive. But your son isn't alive. I mean, the liver is an organ. It's not the organism. The human being is dead, and organ's alive. It doesn't mean that, and it's a little bit pagan, I feel. But, everyone deals with it however they want to deal with it.
Can someone decide that what they want to donate?
Yes, you can say, I only want to donate X, Y, or Z. But typically the only things that they don't donate, if they choose not to donate, is something external, which might disfigure the body upon burial, such as cornea or skin. So they'll say, I'll donate all internal organs, but not... Once you're going internal, it doesn't really matter. But some people say, I don't want you to take the skin, I don't want you to take the corneas.
Is there... That's interesting. That's interesting. It's not
I have a question
have
for you.
About.
How many... Sure. First of all, do you have an organ donor card from the halachic organ donor
study? I don't. And the truth of the matter is that after our conversation the last time, I had said to myself... that this was something, obviously, not only that I needed to do, that's something that I wanted to do. And my husband has a directive that he knows that, and I'm saying this on the air, I don't want to take anything with me.
Right.
I don't need it.
Actually, one halacha problem is a lot of women come over to me and ask me if it's halachically permissible to donate their husband's organs before they're actually dead. And
right. Well, you know, I hear that, but that's not just a halachic issue.
Right.
but there's, and ZK is giving me the dirty looks that I only have. What do you want to tell me? What do you want to tell me?
You have another 4 minutes.
Ah, okay, good. All right,
so we
only have a couple of questions, a couple of minutes left with Robbie.
So I want to know why, how is it we can get you and Stephen to get an organ donor card?
I don't want to speak for Stephen because, as you can imagine, knowing Stephen, it's probably not a good idea to speak for Stephen. But it's definitely something that we can do off the air. I don't have a problem with that. That would actually be my pleasure, and I'm sure there's an affidavit or some kind of notary involved.
If you just go to hods.org,
you can sign up
register,
that way.
You can register right online. We've had, unfortunately, we had a fanatic, pernicious person who was attacking and is attacking our website for the past month and has taken the website down numerous times. And it's cost us like $20,000 to fight this guy.
Oh, my word.
It's incredible.
Just an activist? Just
someone who believes that religiously it's not permissible and will do everything he can in his power to ruin our website. And it's just unbelievable how much damage he's done. I've had people call me up and say, I'm giving over Shavuot. Someone said, I'm giving a lecture in Male Adumim and I need your Makoros and I need the website. I said, it's down. What do you want me to do? It's all down. You have to wait. And it goes up and down occasionally. It's awful.
It's unbelievable, right. The amount of
amount of
damage.
Evil you can do. If a person just puts all that talent into doing good in the world.
Right. Let's use our powers for good,
right,
and not for evil. Hods.org, HODS.org.
Org does not stand for organs, by the way.
Yes, and I'm happy we cleared that up also. Halachic Organ Donor Society, that is where you can sign up. I do want to ask you one more question about the Chief Rabbi of Rome.
Yes.
How did you get to him and get him to sign the card?
I came back from Italy. I was doing a bike ride there, and I figured I've got so much Italiano in me from being in Italy for so many for 7 days.
Right, you're one
days.
Of those people who travels overseas and all of a sudden picks up the accent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I loved it. So I went to the Italian synagogue in Jerusalem this past Shabbat, and who's there? The chief rabbi. He says, oh, I've heard about you. I've seen your website. It's great. I said, so how about getting the card? He goes, yeah, I'd love to. So right there on the spot, after Shabbat, I called him up and we signed the deal, and he's got our card.
No joke.
Yeah. I sent the photographer over.
It was just seriously that easy.
Just bumping into him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Who else have you been bumping into?
Who else have I been bumping into? My niece and nephew at MDS, 8 years old, adorable.
And we're not having them sign cards.
No.
Okay,
no,
I didn't know where you were going with this.
No,
one.
I was buying them hot chocolate.
God, that is a much better story than the opposite. Robbie, I can't thank you enough, first of all, for the work that you're doing, and second of all, for making the time, especially before you travel back to Eretz Yisrael and going home. And kol hakavod on your work here, and good luck with all those other things you got going on.
Thank
That's
you.
Exciting.
Yes.
That
yeah,
is,
exciting.
It is
Check
very
it out.
Exciting.
Tyrant. It's called Tyrant on FX.
FX. Yes. FX. Yes.
Tyrant.
That's
I'm
great.
I'm Dr. Mansour, and I'm an Arab from Ramallah, and we are dealing
You're
with
be
the
passing
pressure in the subdural hematoma, and we're trying to induce a coma in order to relieve the pressure on the brain stem, and that is what we do in the hospital.
All right. Well, as long as you're not actually performing any medical procedures on camera, good luck with that. HODS.org. Robbie Berman, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to That's Life here on the Nachum Segal Network.